Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, and we thank you that we can look into your word, and thank you for the words of wisdom Ray shared. And Lord, we just pray you'd use this time to speak to each of your people, whoever's watching, and Lord, to multiply the message out, showing your goodness and that truly your hand is over all things. And Lord, we are here to listen to you, and as we listen to you, we want to hear what you have to say, and then we want to share what you have to say, God. And so it truly, all things that are good come from you and not ourselves. And so we just praise you for that. Lord, I pray you'd anoint me and I just with the Spirit, and I just speak things of the Spirit. And I pray you would just touch each people's heart, each person's heart. And so we just give you thanks for this time. And good, give you thanks that you're speaking to us. You're always speaking to us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to be looking in Ezekiel this morning, and as we have been the past couple of weeks, but Ezekiel, I'd like you to turn to Ezekiel chapter 3, Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17. Now, the title of the message is Watchmen, or Watchmen and Women, okay, Watchmen. And there are really some great insights in here about what God is telling us and what he's speaking to us and how he works in this world. And don't we ask that all the time? God, what are you doing? How do you work in this world? And as the scripture does in every verse, but in this one, he gives us some insight about what he's asking of us. So look here at Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the Northern Virginia area. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. Now, as you can tell, I added, you know, to the Northern Virginia area, just in case you haven't read that verse. That's not what it says. Because it says he's telling Ezekiel he has a message for the people he is with. And the people he is with is Israel. And so he's telling Ezekiel, you're a watchman for Israel. And whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. See, now what the picture here is important, and it's just what Ray shared. The picture is important. God gives us something to do, and he says something to us. It's just not our own ingenuity, you know, our brilliance or whatever, which God has blessed us with. But he's, no, I'm telling you something. As he spoke to Ray, but also here he's speaking to Ezekiel about Israel. Okay, I'm not in Israel, neither are you. Okay, but where are we? We're in Northern Virginia. So I think it's totally appropriate to put Northern Virginia there to apply to our situation. And that's how we should read the Bible. That's how we should read it. And so it's totally appropriate. I have made you a watchman for Northern Virginia. And then it says, whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. Now, so we see here that a watchman and a watchwoman are responsible for the word that they have heard from the very mouth of God. And stay with me on this, because this applies today. Watchmen, watchwoman are responsible for the words that they hear from the very mouth of God. Just like Ezekiel. Just like Ezekiel. Now, this word is not our own insight, and it's not our own thinking, as it wasn't Ezekiel's. It wasn't his thinking, and it wasn't his own insight. It was something God said to him. Now, here we are. You bring it to where we are today. The word is based on God's breathed out scripture and the work of the Holy Spirit. And you know, I love what it says in 2 Timothy 3:16, and it says, the word of God is God breathed. You know, and I look at that, I think about the word of God. Oh, this is great manuscripts and all. No, it's God breathed. And when I open it up and I read it, it's God breathing on me. And so what we have in the scripture, it's based on God's breath. And we read it, and that's him speaking to us. Ask you something. Ray just shared that he opened up and read the Word, and the Word said something to him. What that was God breathing on him, and that was the very Word of God. That was God speaking to him out of the Scriptures. And then there is a work of the Holy Spirit within us, transforming that Word to do what God has to say, transforming us. So we look at that, and we understand what God is doing. So it applies to us. It applies to us, and we can, just as it did to Ezekiel, and we can get some insight from Ezekiel. Now, the primary Word of God, and maybe I'm stepping out a little bit, saying the primary Word of God, you've got all the books of the Bible, but I believe the primary Word of God from God's mouth is our salvation through Jesus Christ. From Genesis to Revelations, that's what God is revealing to us. By the way, if you want to know what the Bible says, it's revealing to us Jesus. That's what it does, all right? Therefore, it also is revealing to us the redemption of man. That is what the Bible is about. And everything else just hangs on that. So that's a great prophetic word that we have. That Jesus came to this world, paid the penalty for sins. Whoever believes on him has eternal life. That's a prophetic word. And if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, God spoke that word to you somehow. Somehow. And so we've heard words from the very mouth of God. Now, of course, as we see the salvation, our salvation includes receiving the Holy Spirit and being transformed by that Holy Spirit. It's all connected. It's all connected. Now, we need to say that we think, oh my goodness, what an unbelievable position, what a responsibility, and you know, what a privilege, I guess we should say, that we have this word that God's given to us, that he's spoken to us. It's believers because we trust in him. We trust in him. But what we'll soon find out, if we already have found out, is that this very word, this very breath of God may not be very popular with some people. All right? And so, but we shouldn't be too discouraged about that, because Paul found out it wasn't very popular either. And when he was in prison and he shared with the governor of Rome, Festus, he shared the good news. You can read it. He shared the good news with Festus. And in Acts 26:24, we read this about Festus' reply. And as God was saying these things, in his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, you are out of your mind." Okay. Now, the Apostle Paul, who wrote 3/4 of the New Testament, that's what they said to him. You know, somebody says that to us, we, oh my gosh, they don't like us, and oh, why would God make me say that? No, that's part of carrying the message. It goes out with the power of God, and it has an impact. People come to Jesus or they reject Jesus. We just speak the word and see what happens. And that's what Paul did. He didn't go in there and say, oh man, I'm going to share with this Roman ruler. He's going to think I'm crazy. No, I got something to tell you. Then it falls on him. And Paul says, I did what God told me to do. Now it's up to Festus. And you can see Festus' response. Now, so as Paul, no matter what the responsibility may be, we as watchmen and women, we have a responsibility to share what God has revealed to us. And we will be held accountable for our actions. You're probably going, man, I could have gone all day and not heard that one. Okay, it's nice to be responsible, but you mean I'm going to also be held accountable for whether I share or not? The Bible says we are. The Bible says we are. I want you to listen to this with Ezekiel, what God speaks clearly to Ezekiel and what it can teach us. So he continues on in chapter 3 saying, Ezekiel, you're a watchman. He's going, yay, you know, I can see Ezekiel, you know, kind of give him a fist pump to God. I'm a watchman. Then he goes on in verse 18, Ezekiel 3:18, and it says this, if I say to the wicked, now pause, God says, if I say to the wicked, it didn't say, oh, Ezekiel came up with this cool, neat message for the wicked. He said, no, he said, if I say to the wicked. So the point is that God is the one speaking here. That's the key. That's the key. So Ezekiel 3:18. If I say to the wicked, you shall surely die. And Ezekiel, you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way in order to save his life, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity because you didn't say anything. You didn't warn him. And his blood will be on your head. Oh my. You know, I mean, some of you listening online, it's a less go listen to somebody else. What is this? But that's what it says. No, God said, I'm going to speak to the wicked. And if you warn him, if you do not warn them, they don't know to turn away from their wicked. And they're going to die for their sin, for their wickedness. But their blood's going to be on your head because you didn't tell them what I said. That's what it says. Then it goes on and says this in 19. But if you warn the wicked, that means you just say what I told you. What Paul did to Festus, he told him. He told him, I'm going to tell him, you know. And said, if you warn the wicked and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he will die for his iniquity. But you will have delivered your soul. So Ezekiel's going, you know, like, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. So God is saying there's a responsibility with you, Ezekiel. Now, the wicked or those that deny me are going to suffer for what they did. But what I'm telling you, Ezekiel, is that I want you to speak to them and warn them. If you don't, their blood is on your head. But if you speak to them, they die on their own. And you did what you were supposed to do. And it's not coming back on you. Now, I'm not talking, by the way, just interject. I'm not talking about somebody's salvation. Oh, man, I should have shared with them. I didn't share. And, oh, it came on me. I'm going to lose my soul. That's not what this is talking about. He's talking about your life in this world. When we trust on the Lord Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Our sins are forgiven. We trust in him. Everything is nailed to the cross. Nothing is held against us, all right? So it's like, well, if you do this, this, and this, and then you'll be okay. No, that's not what the gospel is. But as believers, we say, God, tell us, and we want to learn to walk with you and do what you say. And the Bible says we receive rewards. We have rewards taken away. That's all we could get into that. So it's not talking about salvation here. Okay, Ezekiel, you don't tell him they go to hell, you're going to hell. That's not what it says. Look at what it says. It says you will have delivered your soul, your mind, will, and emotions as you function in this life. All the scripture is consistent with that. He's making a point that this is going to affect your very being, Ezekiel. It's going to affect your very being. And so it's going to affect the very way you carry out your life. Mean that it's going to impact the blessings that you receive in this life. For which we have eternal life. No one can take that away from us. No one can take that away from us. But there's a functioning in this world, and God has called us to function in this world. We have a responsibility, and we will be held accountable. Just for instance, say the Apostle Paul and I are in heaven before the Lord, and he's passing out crowns. Now, I'm just making this up, all right? But I'm passing out crowns. The Apostle Paul is going to get a truckload of crowns, you know? And God is, you know, I hope I come up and he's going to have this thimble, you know, and he's going to have my little bitty crown in it, you know? But I'm good with that. I mean, I got a crown. I'm in the kingdom, and I'm good with my thimble crown, you know? And I'm happy Paul gets his truckloads of crowns. And my gosh, I don't want to suffer what Paul suffered. I'm happy that he gets his crowns, all right? See, that's kind of what it's saying here. That's what it's saying here. So we want to understand, we've heard from the Lord something to us that we know is true. We have a responsibility, and we will be held accountable. Now, the New Testament confirms everything I just said. The New Testament confirms, or I should put it this way, the New Testament confirms the Old Testament. I want you to take note and look that the same responsibility and accountability for sharing God's word is spoken in the New Testament. Look, if you will, at Acts chapter 18, verses 5 through 6. And let's put this in biblical context. Acts 18, verses 5 through 6. And when Silas and Timothy arrived in Macedonia, Paul was occupied with the word, testifying to the Jews that the Christ was Jesus. And when they opposed him and reviled him, he shook out his garments and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am innocent." Why did he say that? Why in the world did Paul say, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am innocent"? Paul said this because he understood what Ezekiel understood. Both of them had the same message. Both of them understood the responsibility and accountability for the same message. That's what it is. Amazing how, in context, the whole scriptures are. God wants watchmen and women to share his spiritual truth, giving people hope and warning people of the world's lies. I wish God would just come down and talk to my neighbor. I wish God would just come down and show a miracle to this person. God would come and do such and such. And God goes, that's your job. That's your job. I saved you and the Holy Spirit entered you. And where you are, God is. And you're my avenue to the world. And so I'm telling you, stop just calling on me. Speak the word and you'll see me work because I am in you, working through you, and you're an avenue for me, church. See? And it's like, you have a responsibility and you're going to be held accountable. We're getting have, "God, I don't know why you didn't show up and talk to my neighbor." He goes, "I did show up. I did show up with you and you didn't say nothing. You didn't say a word. I showed up. All you had to do was open your mouth." See? And that's what the scripture tells us. See, that's what the scripture tells us. It's what it told Ezekiel. And that's what it told Paul. I mean, this is what Paul said. "Your blood will be on your own heads. I'm innocent." Why is Paul innocent? Because I told you the truth. I told you the truth. And the truth is what God, not what he thought, what this great sermon he built up. No, I just told you what God said. I told you the truth. Therefore, I'm innocent before God. Now, this is important. Now you think about this, and I want to put this in the picture of the magnitude of God, what God is doing, Old Testament, New Testament, and what he's speaking to us and how he feels, how God feels. A lot of things in Scripture, you see God had all these emotions and these feelings because we know who he is. He feels things, you know. He's relational. He interacts with us, and it's to communicate to us what he's doing. So here we are, and this is so important to have watchmen and women to stand in the gap that God actually seeks these people out. He's seeking watchmen and women. He's seeking. Why? Because the message is important. Why did he tell Ezekiel? "You're a watchman." See? So he is actively seeking people out that will hear what he has to say and speak what he has. Oh, this guy's a great orator and he's just giving God's word. I mean, maybe, maybe not. You know, but when God gives us the word and we speak the word, it's the power of God, and therefore we become an avenue for God. It's important to hear what God said. God said. Now, so God thinks it's so important. He's going to, and I won't use the word actively, seeking out watchmen and watchwomen to stand in the gap for him. To stand in the gap for him. Oh, God, speak. I am. Look, I am. And you are the one I'm speaking to. What if I told you? You know, Ray, God spoke to Ray and he shared what God told him. You know, I could come up here and repeat what Ray said. Then this is what God said. Like, well, yeah, but this is what God said to Ray. That he said it to Ray. So God is speaking to, God's going to speak to me, and he's going to give me a little twist on it. He's going to say something a little different to me. See, so it's important. What is he saying to each one of us from the very mouth of God? How does God breathe Scripture? How does he breathe Scripture? So we look here that God is actively seeking watchmen and watchwomen. Look at Ezekiel 22:30. Still talking about watchmen. Ezekiel 22:30. God says, I sought for a man among them who should build up the wall. Now, he's talking about a spiritual wall. He's not talking about masonry and stuff. He's talking about spiritual message. I sought for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the breach before me in the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. I found none. Judgment is coming on these people. And God said, I'm looking for a person that will tell them, this is what's coming. This is what's coming. I don't want to destroy them for their sin. I need someone to tell them, you know. But I found none. Now, I don't know about you, but that just sends chills up my back. I mean, that might, there's so much in the Scripture, but, you know, that could be one of the most grievous statements in the entire Bible. I found none. I just wanted somebody, and I found none. How grievous it is to hear God say that he cannot find a man or woman to stand in the gap for him. My. And he gives us some examples. He gives us some examples here. God desires men and women like Moses. Like Moses, who stand in the gap. Look, if you will, at Psalms 106, verse 23. Psalm 106, verse 23. Says this, and this fits in with what Ray said, because he said, man, these Israelites, they just keep messing up and they just keep sinning. They're not paying any attention. And this is what this addresses, is what happened to these people. Why God didn't just snuff out the whole bunch. Psalms 106, verse 23. Therefore, God said he would destroy them. That's Israel. He's talking about Israel when they're in the desert. Therefore, God said he would destroy them for falling away from him. Had not Moses, his chosen one, chosen watchman, had not Moses, his chosen one, stood in the breach before him and turned away God's wrath from destroying them? Why didn't he destroy those disobedient people who constantly turned away from him? Because Moses stood in the breach and prayed for them. And he says, all right, I'll work through you, Moses. That's a watchman standing in the breach. So we have a perfect example here of what God's asking us to do. And so we see it here. God was going to destroy the people for their disobedience, but Moses stood in the gap and prayed for the people and turned away his wrath. Of course, Jesus is the greatest example of one who stood in the gap. He stood in the gap and died for our sins, so we wouldn't fall under the wrath of God. We are forgiven because Jesus stood in the gap. He was a substitute on the cross for us. He stood in the gap. And he continues, the Bible says he continues to stay in the gap because he continually intercedes for us. Now, I think that's really neat that God continues to pray for me. Lord knows I need it. But he's constantly in the gap for me, praying for me. Now, listen to this. Seeing the example of Moses and Jesus standing in the gap for people, God is also asking us to stand in the gap for people around us. That's what he said. That is That is what he's telling us. Oh, I just, you know, we have all this stuff going on. It's no, your big job description here is to stand in the gap for the people around you, because I'm using you. Pray for them. Speak the truth to them. You're to stand in the gap, just like Moses did, just like Jesus did. You're my watchman, my watchwoman. See? So, God is saying we have a responsibility and we will be held accountable for sharing God's truth. Now, Paul knew his responsibility and he knew he'd be held accountable. Therefore, Paul warned everyone he came in contact with. Paul knew the scriptures. Okay. Now, he was a Pharisee, and most of the Pharisees, if you read up on the Pharisees, are pretty legalistic, but they would like memorize the Old Testament. All right. So you have Paul's affair. He like memorized the Old Testament. You know, like this isn't new news to him. I think that's one, you know, he didn't have to, God speak to Paul to write scripture. He didn't have to give him a lot of background because he already read it. He had it memorized. You know, he just added to what Paul already had. I think that's one of the reasons he chose him. But anyway, besides that, so Paul knew this. He understood Ezekiel. He knew all about Ezekiel. Anytime, when Paul shared the gospel, he quoted from the Old Testament time and time again because it was all prophesied about Jesus, prophesied in the Old Testament. All these things in the New Testament is just the completion of what God said in the Old Testament. So we knew that Paul understood what God said to Ezekiel. He understood the importance of being a watchman. Look what it says in Acts 20, verse 26 through 27. Paul talked with everyone. He shared with everyone he came in contact with. Acts 20, verse 26 through 27. Paul says, "Therefore, I testify to you this day, I am innocent of the blood of all." That sounds like Ezekiel. "Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, because I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God." Genesis to Revelations, or Revelations for us. Maybe Paul was Genesis to Malachi, the whole counsel to write the New Testament. "I did not shrink back from declaring to you the whole counsel of God." You know, you listen to a preacher, and I do this too. You kind of got your pets, you know, thing you like to preach about, you know. And so you talk about it. And God says, "Well, that's good. You know, that's how it works in your life. But I want you to preach the whole counsel. Read the whole thing. Start in Genesis or Revelation. Read the whole thing." See? Because the whole thing reveals Jesus and the redemption of man. And the whole thing is the full counsel of God. And the whole thing is a message from God. And that's what Paul did. And he said, "I'm innocent of everybody's blood," just like Ezekiel was. Same thing. Now, here's something as believers. Here's a motivation. And this is, and we need to ask ourselves, do we believe this? See, as watchmen and women, we stand in the gap because we know that God will do exactly what he said he will do. Now, do we believe that? That's a question. Do we really believe that? "I believe I'll die and go to heaven. Now the rest, I don't know about this." No. Do you think Ezekiel believed God would do what he said he would do? Yeah, I think so. Do you think Paul believed what God said he would do, he would do? I believe so. Look at Ezekiel 33:33. And he gives us insight into Paul and Ezekiel and should give us insight into us about why we share or why we don't share. Ezekiel 33:33. "When this comes," see, God just poured out and told Ezekiel all this stuff. "When this comes, and come it will." I don't know about you, but that, even when I said it then, I just had a chill up my back. "And when this comes, and come it will, then they will know," Festus and all the other people Ezekiel talked to and Paul talked, "then they will know that a prophet has been among them." They'll know then, because it's going to happen. And when it happens, they're going to go, "Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. They told me. They told me. I didn't listen, but they told me. Now, so we have that in our mind. Now, what I'd like to do is we process through this information and being responsible and accountable before God. Now, again, put this in perspective. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. Me and Paul are standing in heaven. I have assurance of my salvation. Paul had assurance of his salvation. And he's going to have a dump truck load full of rewards. And I'm going to have my little thimble. You know, but I'm good. I'm good with that. All right. I'm good. I even got there with my thimble. All right. And I need to work on maybe, you know, getting a little wagon or something and kind of move from the thimble, you know, in my actions, because the rewards are based on the actions here on earth. And that means our actions here are we're doing what God told us to do. See, that's the key. It's what did he say, not what we think. Not what we think he ought to say, but what he said. So in closing, what I'd like to do is for us to hear God's commission. Let's listen to God's commission, our responsibility for which we will be held accountable. Okay? I want you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now, Paul got his commission. He carried out his commission. And what he's doing, in, I think, 2 Timothy, a lot of people say it's the last book Paul wrote, and he's out to be executed, all right? He knows it. And what he does, he commissions Timothy. Okay, my ministry's over, but he's commissioning Timothy. Listen to what he tells Timothy, because Timothy's commission is our commission. If Paul had something to say to us just before he's going to be executed, this would what he would say this to us. All right? Application right here. This is to Timothy, but put your name in it. Put your name in it. This is to you. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 5. Now, I'm just going to read it through. I'm just going to read it through and let the Word of God sink in. Verse 1. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound doctrine, sound teaching, but will have itching ears, and they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of evangelists. Fulfill your ministry. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. As watchmen and women, we are to stand in the gap. And listen to this word, prophetically claim. Prophetically proclaim the words from God's very mouth. And start with the greatest prophetic word from God's very mouth. John 3:16. God said, he breathed out. The very word of God is, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ has heard this verse from God. Therefore, every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is responsible for this verse before God. And every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ will be held accountable for sharing what God said in this verse. Amen? Now, he will build on that as Ray shared with us. He told Ray more things. Now, Ray has more things to share on top of this verse, based on this verse, but he has more things to share because that's what God told him. See? And Ray's responsible and he's accountable for what God told him. Now, I love to preach and share, you know, and I enjoy it. But you're not really too accountable for what I say, all right? You're not. You're accountable for what the Lord says. If the Lord speaks to you and moves you and you read this and he speaks, then you're accountable. Then you're accountable. See? And so that's how it works. And then the Lord says, now I'm moving through my people. And where my people show up, I show up. Well, I'll ask you something.